Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 11 through 31. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. After one day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, I have done nothing against our people, our customs, or our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak to you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.' He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance."
The Peachtree Road Race is one of, I think it is, the largest 10K in the world. Many of you have run the Peachtree Road Race. Maybe some of you walked in the Peachtree Road Race. I ran it one time, and God is gracious, I won't run it again. No, it was a joy. We'll see. But this past summer's Peachtree Road Race ended with a bit of controversy. In the men's division, there was a gentleman running to the finish line. He was actually in first place. And right before he got to the finish line, he began to raise his hands and his arms in victory. Well, there was a gentleman that, unbeknownst to him, on his heels. And as he raised his arms before crossing the finish line, the man who was in second place ran through the tape, winning the Peachtree Road Race and all that prize money. You can say that gentleman who celebrated before the finish line didn't run as though to finish the race. He didn't run as though to finish the race. As we learned a couple of weeks ago, Paul has been a had been a Christian for well over 20 years. He had been battle-tested. He is a well-seasoned saint who not just knows the faithfulness of God, doesn't just know it theoretically, but he has actually experienced the faithfulness of God. He has experienced the living God in a tangible way. He was indeed a man who walked with God. But you know, 20 years in, for any Christian, the temptation arises to want to coast, to kind of stroll through the finish line. You get up in your years and you say, well, I've been there and I've done that. I've paid my dues. I've served the kingdom. Now it's kind of time to rest and kind of coast on through the finish line. There was no let up in Paul, brothers and sisters. Here's what he says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Paul, here in Rome, final chapter of Acts, we see his days upon the earth aren't much longer, it's his years. But at the end of his life, right, as he writes to Timothy, he writes this in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Brothers and sisters, there was no let up in Paul. He has no desire to get to the finish line coasting. He wants to hit that line full speed, leaning into the tape. Leaning into the tape. Do you want to finish the race like that? Leaning into the tape? That is what is clearly Paul's attitude here at the end, 20 years in. It's clearly demonstrated in our text this morning when he finally arrives in Rome. Why? Why is Paul able to run hard? Because his life was not his own. But he belonged in life and in death to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul is able to run hard. You know, we named this series, as we have gone and walked through the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit had been sent to empower God's people to proclaim the message of the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not only was Holy Spirit sent, not only was he sent to empower God's people, he came to open up blind eyes, to unplug deaf ears, to turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, so that those who belong to God could see, hear, and receive Christ. All throughout the book of Acts, this plan set forth from before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world was being accomplished. Why is Paul still running hard? Running as though to finish? Because God would have it so, and he was not through with him yet. Brothers and sisters, do you know that that is important to note? That is important to understand, that God is not through with you until he is through with you. You are still walking. Still breathing in this world, God has purposes and plans he is accomplishing in and through you for his glory, for the fame of his name. I don't say that so that you can boast that, oh, look, God is using me for the fame of his glory. I don't say that so that you can boast. I say that so that you would run hard, right. That you would finish the race, leaning into the tape. Paul says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because you know that it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That is a wonderful, truth. When we work, it is God who works in us to accomplish his plans and his purposes. Which means that which he calls us to accomplish, he orchestrates, works in all things so as to bring his purposes and plans to pass to fulfill that which he has called you to. In our text, Paul reaches the ends of the earth in his idea, in his understanding. He has reached the ends of the earth, Rome, to fulfill his calling. God has worked to get him there. He worked, orchestrated. I mean, you just read Acts, you read the last chapters, we've been seeing how God has been working and orchestrating things to get him there. What we will see this morning is God providing Paul with what he needs to finish the race well, to run hard after him. My prayer is that we would see these truths, that we would see them and look at them and understand them, and they would spur us on to do the same. We see God here providing Paul with encouragement from the saints. He provides him with encouragement from the saints. After leaving Malta, the ship again set sail for Rome, making two stops before arriving. And during one of those stops, Paul is given leave to visit brothers and sisters in Christ. The text tells us that he is able to spend seven days with these fellow believers, no doubt enjoying sweet fellowship and godly hospitality from them. Leaving there and arriving on the outskirts of Rome, additional saints come who had been notified by those Christians Paul had just been with that Paul was coming to Rome. They come and greet Paul and journey with him on the last leg of the trip. Luke then records for us these words in verse 15. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. He thanked God and took courage. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if this encouragement could have come at a better time. You remember our context. Paul had been longing for several years to get to Rome, and the process to get there had not been an easy one. He has been literally through storms and through trials. Literally. He's been shipwrecked. He's lost everything. And sure, he was blessed by those who were in Malta, but he wasn't among brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sure a little encouragement wouldn't hurt right about now. And what we see is that God meets his needs by giving him the fellowship of the saints. Brothers and sisters, I don't think you can overemphasize the importance of being around other believers. I don't know if you have ever been separated from the saints for any length of time, but brothers and sisters, it is hard. It is difficult being away from the saints, from the gathered congregation. The psalmist in Psalm 42 experienced this. He is longing for remembering his time with the congregation. Why? Because he is low and in need of some encouragement. And so the psalmist did not see the fellowship of the believers as something that he had to do. It was something that he felt privileged that he got to do, to join in with the saints. He wanted to do it. It was crucial to his encouragement in the faith. Paul was encouraged when he saw these believers. And he thanked God. That's what it says. Paul sees these believers and he thanks God. I believe that he thanked God because seeing these believers, seeing them was an answer to prayer. Seeing these believers in Rome was an answer to prayer. You see, the believers in Rome, they had been awaiting Paul's arrival. How do we know this? Because when Paul was in Corinth, he wrote them a letter. The letter to the Romans, and in verse 9 through 12 of chapter 1, Paul says this, "For God is my witness, whom I serve, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift for strengthening you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Seeing these saints in Rome reminded Paul that God answers prayer. God, he saw these believers and he looked and he thanked God because he realized and remembered that God answered prayer. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you realize, but when Pastor Tony, when I, and when the elders look out on this congregation and we see your faces, we thank God. Because do you know that 8.5, 9 years ago, we were praying that God would do a work in the city of East Point. That if we planted a church, that he would bring men and women into this congregation that would love the Lord, that would love his word, that would want to serve it and love each other. So when we see you walk through the doors and we look into your face, we thank God because God answers prayer. He answers prayer. I'm sure you all have testimonies just like that. People or couples that whom you've prayed for, and when you see them, you are reminded, man, you're here. God answers prayer. What does it cause you to do? You're thankful. Paul saw those men and women and thanked God for answered prayer. Not only would he have been encouraged by answered prayer, he would have been encouraged by their faith. That is what he says. He wanted to come and see them so that they might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Their loyalty to Christ and to Paul would have indeed warmed his soul. They were still in the fight with him. They were still pressing on. They were still running the race, still trusting Jesus. And so Paul saw that and he took courage. He took courage. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if we fully realize the gift that is the fellowship of the saints. I think we gloss over how spending time with believers keeps you running the race. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Shouldn't be neglecting the fellowship of the saints, because you realize and you understand it keeps you running the race. As you grow older as a Christian, don't fall into the temptation of thinking you don't need to be part of a local body. The temptation is that I've paid my dues. I've served the church. Oh, it's okay. I can miss this Sunday. Brothers and sisters, it is being in the fellowship of the saints that encourages you to press on. Paul's journey to Rome had not been an easy one. But as he stands ready to take on Rome, to fulfill his calling, he thanks God and is encouraged to press on. And that courage comes from being with the saints. Is that your testimony? You're in the world all week and you come into the gathered congregation of the saints. Are you encouraged to continue to press on, to continue to run the race? Come, brothers and sisters, to the fellowship and be encouraged to continue running the race, to finish, to run as though to finish. God provided Paul with encouragement from the saints so that he could continue running. But we also see that Paul is also able to run this race, to run as though to finish, because God provides a way to himself. God provides a way to himself. In Rome, when Paul's in Rome, he is under house arrest as he awaits trial. And since he is under house arrest, he is free to have guests come and visit him. So his first order of business when he gets to Rome, when he is in under house arrest, is to address the Jewish leaders in town. Now, this would normally be accomplished by Paul, by him going to the synagogues. Usually when he went into a town and when he went into a city, he went to the synagogues first. He wanted to address and proclaim the gospel to the Jews. But because he's under house arrest, he has the leaders come to him. During this meeting, Paul rehearses how it is that he has come to Rome, how these false accusations have been made against him by the Jews in Asia, and how he is innocent of the charges and ultimately appealed to Caesar to help prove his innocence. But as always, Paul's agenda was not primarily about clearing his name and informing the people about his predicament. That wasn't his main concern. He ultimately wanted to make Christ known. That's why he wanted these Jewish leaders to come. He saw it as an opportunity to proclaim Christ. And as he is recalling the account of his trials and his arrest, he subtly slips in the reason for his chains and the reason for wanting to speak to them. Look at verse 20. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing these chains. The Jewish leaders, hearing this, would have immediately recognized the language of the hope of Israel as being Messiah, the long-promised Savior of Israel. Though they had not heard of Paul and his situation, they were intrigued by this hope of Israel comment. And so they say, okay, we need to hear more from this brother. He seems to have our interest in mind, and so we need to hear from him. And so they set up a time to come back with others to give Paul a hearing. These men were willing to listen to Paul because they were longing for something or someone to satisfy. You know, whether people realize it or not, they were created, all were created to worship God. Whether they realize it or not, yet sin has perverted that purpose for our creation and caused men and women to worship that which is not God. You see, sin doesn't remove the desire to worship. It doesn't remove the desire to worship. It mars and taints that desire. And so we search and search to fulfill the satisfaction that comes from fulfilling what we were created to do. And so many of us search and we search trying to find satisfaction and hope in that which does not satisfy. That which provides no hope. But Paul here says, there is hope. But there is hope, as Paul said. It is the reason why he was in chains, because of the hope of Israel. But this is not just the hope of Israel. This is the hope of the whole world. Amen. Amen. The hope that God in Christ has provided a way to him. God in Christ has provided a way to him. Christ is the only hope in this world that won't disappoint, that satisfies fully. Christ, the hope of Christ is the hope that every Christian seeks to carry into the world around them. Do you understand that we who are in Christ have the privilege of being called Christ ambassadors? We are called his ambassadors. That is what Paul tells the church in Corinth. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of God, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 19 and, yeah. Wow. Be reconciled to God. Ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. You and I. Ambassadors for Christ. Do you understand? As long as we find ourselves strangers in this world and citizens of the kingdom of God, we are ambassadors entrusted with a message of reconciliation. We are to urge and persuade men and women to be reconciled to God. That is why we run to finish the race. For we have a task that we have been given. The world is hopeless without Christ, and Christ, and through Christ, we can offer people hope. He provides a way to him. Paul understood that, and that is why we read this in our text in verse 23. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers, and from morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Paul is from morning and evening, urging and pleading with these Jews to be reconciled to God. That there is a hope comes from Christ. Paul, you get this? You see this, Paul? 20 years in, and he is still running hard. He's not just running hard, he's stirring up trouble. sought to convince and persuade these men that Jesus was indeed Messiah and that they needed to be reconciled to him. Paul took his role as an ambassador for Christ, he took it seriously. And as long as he found air in his lungs and an audience who would listen, he was going to proclaim Christ. Brothers and sisters, that is how you continue running the race as though to finish. Leaning into the tape. You realize your life is not about your agenda. Amen. Your life is not about your agenda. Your agenda comes from the King. Ambassadors are not, they don't seek to promote their own policies and ideas when they are sent to a foreign land. They're not promoting their own ideas and agendas. They are promoting the agendas of the kingdom they are representing. We are ambassadors of Christ. The world is hopeless, and God in Christ has provided a way to him, and we are his ambassadors proclaiming hope to the hopeless. And until Jesus comes back, we need to be about our Father's business. Run to finish, to lean into the tape. God provides encouragement from the saints. He provides a way to him. Do you know that you can run to finish the race? Because God provides fruit. God provides fruit. We just understood that Paul spent morning till evening with the Jews seeking to persuade them. He took them to the law, the prophets, to show them that Jesus was indeed Messiah. Man, listen, they listened intently. They listened intently to Paul as he, I'm sure, was just laying it out for them, passionately appealing to them. But as we have seen throughout the book of Acts, and as we experience in our context today, some believe and some reject. Some of these men were persuaded by Paul and were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. But the text says others disbelieved. Brothers and sisters, this is always the response to the gospel. Jesus demands that you choose. He demands that you choose. Listen, Jesus was God in the flesh, walked among men, proclaiming the kingdom of God, that the kingdom was God that was at hand, and that people needed to believe on him. And guess what? Some believed and some rejected. God in the flesh, Jesus. You understand? The Jews who rejected Paul that evening did so just as God told Isaiah they would. Paul recognized it clear as day, and what he did was he placed a mirror, the mirror of the Word of God in front of them, and he read the scriptures for them. Verse 26, Isaiah, referencing Isaiah 6, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. These men had hearts of stone, blind eyes and deaf ears. For they were ever listening, religious, but never hearing, left without excuse, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, this is a hard truth to read. This would have been a tough word to deliver. Paul was pronouncing judgment upon them. But he is doing nothing more than what Jesus did as he walked upon the earth. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Their hearts were hardened. Were heaping judgment upon themselves. Hardened hearts. Brothers and sisters, while this may have been a hard hearing for some, this was glorious news for others. For the gospel is a fragrance of death to death for some, but for others it is a fragrance from life to life. You see, you do understand that God's plan was always for the nations. It was always for the nations to save a people from every tribe and tongue and nation through the power of the gospel. But that message would first need to go to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The Jews rejecting the message meant it could be proclaimed to the Gentiles, God had sheep who were not of the earthly fold of Israel. Look at verse 28. Glorious truth. For you and I are wrapped up in this. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. And listen to this, they will listen. Paul could run to finish because he knew God would provide the fruit. The Gentile, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to listen. Your ears are hardened. The Gentiles will listen. Because the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Do you understand how much that causes you to continue as an ambassador for Christ? When you implore people to be reconciled to God, you have the assurance that there will be those who listen. There will be those who listen. God had men and women who were not of the fold of earthly Israel. And the Jews hardened their hearts. The message was proclaimed to the Gentiles, and they believed. There was fruit. God provided fruit for Paul to continue running the race. We come to our final point. God provided encouragement from the saints. God provides a way to himself. God provides the fruit. Do you understand that God provides the means for his kingdom to advance? His kingdom to advance. You know, many think that Acts ends rather abruptly. And in some respects, it does. We come to the end of Acts, and we're left with some questions. Did Paul ever make it before Caesar? Does Paul get released from house arrest? What happened to Luke and Aristarchus? There indeed are questions. But what I think is overwhelmingly clear at the end of Acts is that the kingdom of God advances. It advances. It's never backing up. It's never losing ground. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is always full speed ahead. It's always advancing. How do we know that? Because the king would have it so. Jesus told his disciples that he builds his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That is the picture that is painted for us at the end of Acts. I mean, you look at this and you say, man, this is amazing. Look at verse 30 and 31. He, Paul, lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul was given a platform. His financial needs were met. He had a place to live. He had an audience who would listen. He was given boldness, all so that the message of the kingdom would go forth without hindrances. Brothers and sisters, Paul ran the race to finish because God had given him the means to do so. He told the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, 9-10, Paul said this, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Paul ran to finish the race, but it was the grace of God working in him. Paul ran hard. You get to the end of Acts, and you see that there is no let up in him. He is running as though to finish the race, wanting to finish well, wanting to lean into the tape. He's not on a beach somewhere. He's not on a golf course somewhere. He is still full steam ahead for the kingdom, running hard because it is the grace of God that works in him. Will you run to finish? Will you run to hit the tape? Run hard, Christian. That's my exhortation to you this morning. Run hard, Christian. Run, run. For it is God who works in you, in and through you, to accomplish his purposes and plans. His kingdom is advancing. It's moving on. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christian, don't let up. Keep advancing. Let's